So, Holy Spirit, God, I thank you that you have been present with us so well and so beautifully already this morning. And God, I just pray for each one of our hearts that you would drop in the word that you want to speak right into us, that it would sit right in our gut, in our belly, and really germinate and be something that shapes us to be more like you and to be able to host you in the way that you give yourself to us. Amen. So I'm Anna. For those of you that don't know me, I'm married to Sam, who was touching my trousers. And so you've got a bit of a Pollard double act today, and with most of the other collars all away on holiday. This is my first time doing this, so I'm using all the best techniques of slowing down my speaking and picturing you all in your underwear. but the reason I'm actually sharing today isn't because I want to be a preacher. It's because I'm just really passionate about us being Christians outside of these walls and us being Christians in our day-to-day, in our workplaces. And so Malcolm asked if I would share some of my heart about what it is to be at work. So the title we've got today is Faith at Work, if you haven't spotted that already. So this morning, we're going to walk through what it means to be at work. We'll spend some time looking at Colossians, at the verses we heard, but also quite a lot of the rest of the book. And if you think you've got 20 minutes to just switch off, because either you don't work or you don't work in a secular environment, wrong. Hopefully you'll see that what I'm wanting to share today actually applies to all of us in all our different settings. It's not about just being in work, because it's about being a Christian, about not having a separate Christian life and a separate day-to-day life, but having Jesus in everything we do. So I hope that there'll be something in here for everybody. I think when thinking about this topic, we often think of the question, what does it mean to be a Christian at work? And that's where I started when I was preparing this talk. But I don't actually really like that question. I much prefer it as two separate questions. What does it mean to be a Christian, or what does it mean to be at work? Because a Christian isn't something that I try to be. It's not something that I do better on a Sunday than I do on a Monday. Because I'm a daughter of God every single day. So I'm a daughter right now and tomorrow, and even by Friday, I'm still a Christian. I'm still a daughter of God. And if I'm trying to be a better Christian at work, my issue isn't that I need to do it better. It's that I need to actually understand who I am better and understand that I'm already a child of God. So I'll take you on a bit of my own journey with this. And my answer to that question has evolved over the years. And it did begin with, what does it mean to be a Christian at work? And my first answer focused on integrity. So I was a very conscientious child, very compliant, a dream for my parents. They would ratify that. And much of that compliance informed what I saw as important to be a Christian at work. So it was not stealing pencils, not stealing at all, not lying, playing by the rules, being kind, being faithful, and essentially being entirely upright and blameless. They would know that I'm a Christian because I don't do anything wrong, that I'm kind and have the all-important smile. And I realise that's a caricature and an exaggeration, but that was it at its essence. And then there's always been another part of me, which you might relate to. There's always been a bit of a rebel in me and a frustration to not just be Miss Nicey-Nicey, and not for a Christian to mean being bland, wearing my beige twin set, which I don't have. It's not good for my complexion, actually, beige. Much better in bright colours. But at times over the years, I've felt frustrated at us being the church. We're seeming to feel just a bit more reactive and passive and being focused on being kind and good. Sometimes it's justified, sometimes it isn't. And that frustration has been answered by words about how we're full of the Holy Spirit, how we can be the most creative people on earth because we are inspired by God and carrying his wisdom into impossible situations, able to break through where others can't, and seeing transformation in our cities, in our organisations. And I'm like, yes. Because we are more than conquerors and we are full of his spirit and God is at work. And I think this journey is quite a natural journey for a lot of us. And it might be that your answer to that question of what does it mean to be a Christian at work is to think about your integrity and how to really build in that honesty and being the same wherever someone finds you. And that's really great and important. Over the years, I've tried to be really intentional about being really quick to put my hand up when I've made a mistake and to give honest and open feedback as well, not just to be saying the right thing. And I think that really does change the culture around us. When you see someone else willing to make admit to a mistake, then we're more likely to do it. And when you see someone being open, we're more likely. And we shape our cultures by being those people. For others of us, you might also share that itch, the same itch that I've got of there must be more. There's more to being a Christian than just being nice and good. And we really do carry the presence of God where we go, and I'm really longing to see more of God in the places that we are. And in my own experience again, I've seen the effect of God's presence at work in smaller but not insignificant ways. So a couple of years ago, I work for a large charity that funds science research, just as a bit of context. And I was doing a day a week just for 6 months with our policy team to learn a bit more about what they do. It was during when the legislation was, there's public consultation for some legislation about mitochondrial donation, which you might recognise as three parent babies. That's how it was described in the media. It was obviously controversial, and one of the main opponents of it were facets of the church. My organisation had funded quite a lot of the research that had developed those techniques, and as a result was supportive that those techniques would become legalised. And because of its size and kind of reputation, it coordinated a lot of the responses of those that were within the kind of pro group and trying to coordinate what we were each saying, how we were saying it. So the surreal piece for me in this was I found myself with this group of people in the first meeting that I was part of, and I was part of the pro group. And the so-called antis, which they were actually described as the antis, was the church. I was like, whew, this is quite strange. And the church, the antis, were spoken of quite derogatorily. And I didn't have my I am a Christian and married to a vicar badge on. But I was like, oh, I wonder what they would think if they knew. Because they weren't a group of people that I met before. At the second meeting that we had together, I was more prepared. And as we went into the room, I was just praying. I was like, God, I don't want to just hear that dishonour of you and your people and feeling that real tension because it doesn't need to be there. And just was praying in my head. And you know what? They're just actually, the atmosphere was completely different in that meeting. And there were no snide comments or comments that were dishonouring God and his people. And it was a real moment for me of, I was just me. I wasn't anything very special in that meeting. But my God was really big. And his spirit was in me. And because I was there, his presence was there. And that changed the atmosphere in that meeting. And it doesn't matter if it's a grand institution, if they're MPs or lobby groups or successful scientists. He is still God absolutely everywhere. And he doesn't feel out of context by being active outside of the church. He's like, oh, we're in an office now. How bizarre. He doesn't feel out of context. So through this journey, I haven't steadily become a better and better Christian at work. But what I think has happened is that I've grown in my relationship with God and I've become more present at work. So I've been more comfortable in my identity as God's daughter. I'm happier to be all of Anna at work, freer to admit mistakes and therefore freer to take risks, more confident in my opinion, more aware of what God is already doing in my workplace, more able to advocate for change that honours God, and I think actually a better employee and a greater asset to my team, which I'm sure they would vouch for. But because I've grown as a daughter, more secure knowing that I am loved and able to love those around me and more able to host His Holy Spirit wherever I am. Obviously, that's not the whole picture, because even that isn't a nice straight line. And working out to live as a Christian has sometimes become more about focusing on myself than about focusing on God. It's because it's easy, isn't it, for us to get caught up in what we're doing for God and what we're achieving for Him, rather than remembering always who we are in Him. So an example of that, there was when I went back to work from maternity leave last year, I went back into a review of how we give out our funding. So I went into it, I was like, Lord, I really want to seek You actually and know what You want in this review. And what is it that You, how do You want to shape us? Because we're at a moment where we're changing, and can feed in what You want to say and speak. And that started in a really good place. But I think through it, my heart shifted a bit, and not entirely and completely wonky, but part of it became about me. And part of it became like, oh, if God tells me the solution, then I can go into those meetings and go, I've got the solution. And say, you know what, I've got this really insightful and wise thing that's going to be answer all the issues that no one else can fix. And it wasn't actually about bringing glory to God entirely. It was about saying, oh, look at Anna go. And in a world where everyone and everything needs that unique selling point, our USP, to stand out, sometimes it can be tempting to use the Holy Spirit to be ours, and use our Christian card to be our USP. But it's not about us. It's about God, and we need to keep that purity of it being about Him. And that, when we're also thinking about this, I think some of that issue comes from working out what it is to be a Christian at work, hinging on defining what the difference is between us and them, Christian, non-Christian, church and world. And you know, that difference isn't going to be because I'm an excellent Christian at work. It's not going to be because I've got an outstanding and upright character, or that I'm supercharged and really inspired. Setting us up as different to the world based on our actions is going to just set us up to fail. Because the world isn't going to come to Christ because it sees us as being exemplar human beings and go, oh, they are so exemplar, I want to give my life to Him. And to be honest, when I, with my friends who aren't Christians and colleagues who aren't Christians, a lot of them have more integrity and are more creative than me anyway. And I was challenged by one of my good friends at work. She was in a new temporary role in an area of work that was quite new. It's through a development phase. And she slogged her guts out for a best part of a year. And it got approved as a new important area of work for our organisation. And they were going to offer her the permanent role to lead it. But she came back to them and said, no, I don't think you should do that. I think you should advertise it, because it's not fair that I get a free pass and there might be someone better suited. So they did advertise it, and she still got the job. And then they offered her salary, and she was like, which was significantly more than she was already on. And she said, oh, no, I think you should pay me less than that, actually. Like, who does that? who gets offered a nice fat check on a plate and goes, oh, no, I think you should take a bit off? But she did, and she doesn't follow Jesus, but her integrity is such that she couldn't take that because she felt it wasn't right and fair. And it really challenged me, because I wasn't sure that I would have done the same. because I thought, if someone offered me a permanent job without competition, I might have as easily have said, God has opened the door and he wants me to have more influence for the kingdom. And then when I was offered my nice, healthy salary, I've gone, you know, my God has blessed me and he is incredibly generous. And it really challenged me to actually think about what is my integrity, where I am. So when we reflect on what it means to be a Christian at work, asking instead just what does it mean to be at work helps me and my thinking to be less about putting on my Christianness and more about being present as Anna, God's daughter, because it's who I am and my identity that defines me and my Christianness, not my actions, even though they do flow from it. So we're going to get on to Colossians now, which gives us the right focus. We're going to have a whistle-stop tour and take some sections all the way through the book, as is a Pollard trait, I think. And this book is all about the supremacy of Christ. Christ over all creation. It's all about him. So we're going to read first in chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. Do follow them, or I'm just going to read them out for us. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. I love that. I love God. Because he is God. Start and finish, he is God. It's about his supremacy. Everywhere, everything. He is God over it all. Not even the most hallowed institution, the highest paid CEO, escapes that. He is God of everything. And I love to just stand in awe of that and remember that he is God, which means I'm not. And our workplaces, our bosses, our colleagues, he is Lord over them all, of our whole world. We don't leave and walk out somewhere where he is no longer Lord and supreme of it all. So chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. This is our next one, and this is Paul speaking. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we're going to go down to verses 9 and 10 as well. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. There are full riches for us to know. Knowing Christ, where everything else flows from. We can know God because Jesus brought us into that relationship. Who is the same God that we just read about, who is the supreme over absolutely everything? We know that God. And not only do we know him, we are made full in him. And the fullness we have has been given is the whole fullness of God himself, which actually is just mind-blowing. And that leaves us. There's no more timid, little apologetic, sorry I shouldn't be here, worker. We're made full in Christ. And our Lord is supreme. Chapter 3, 1 to 3 is our next point. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. we don't just get our bonus superpowers by being hidden in God. We're actually dead. And that goes, my visions of wonder, Anna, because I'm dead. So we died. We gave up fighting for ourselves. We gave up fighting for our name. Gave up fighting for our reputation. Which means not fighting for ourselves at work, even if everyone else is. We're looking out for him. Which means looking out for those around us, looking out for those that are struggling, and lifting them up and pursuing God's mission. So we're now God's. We live for him. It doesn't matter if others aren't. So now a few verses down again, chapter 3, 12 to 15. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. It is about our character as well that is formed in Jesus. We are clothed in him, and all those virtues are bound together by love. It's made possible because of God's love, and we can carry that peace, God's peace, into those trickiest situations. I'm just going to get a water before our last verse. So, our final verse was the reading that Pat read for us earlier. So it's chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. This tells us, have integrity. And because we've died and became God's, we work for him, not for ourselves or our own interests or our own promotion. But work with all our hearts. Be present. Don't discount what we do Monday to Friday as not very Christian or not very important. It is important because it's where you are. And you are a child of God. We are to be present. And this really is my point through it all, being present, to see our colleagues, see what we're trying to achieve and work at it for God. Obviously, that last verse mentioned slaves, so I'm just going to say, if you've got questions about slaves, ask Sam. That's it. And any other difficult ones. Yeah. But so we've gone through these passages in Colossians, and reading them, we can't just abstract principles. We can't just take a definition of a good character and lift it off a shelf and expect that to be enough. We can't take the fullness of God's riches without also taking all of him and being found in him. This book, Colossians, and the whole Bible tells us again and again and again, it's all about God. It's not about us. And he is the God over all creation, made everything from nothing. We can't take a breath without him. We can only be truly alive when we've died and come back to life in him. The greatest gift that I think we can be to our colleagues and the places that we are is to be present. Because if you, all of us, are full of the Holy Spirit, and then present in the places that we are, God will overflow. Don't misunderstand me that just being present, just turning up, is passive. It's absolutely not passive. Being present requires bringing my whole self into that place where I am. It's the most powerful thing we can do. Because if we are dead, made new in him, full of the Holy Spirit, if I bring all of myself into my office, then there is real power that God can use and flow through, that his presence is active in that place. And he wants to be active. He wants to be present in the places where we live and go. So we can be expectant. Because all we do is shaped to host Jesus Christ in our lives. So we can go and be the most generous, even though there will be people that are more generous than us. And we can go and have complete integrity and still at times lack it. And we can go and be the most creative people, even though there will still be others who are more creative. This is the overflow of our worship to him. It's not about meeting a Christian standard and being a bit more Christian when we're in a different situation. It all sounds very nice, doesn't it? And we can go, yes, amen. It's all about him. But what does it really look like to be present in our workplaces? And we're coming up towards the end. So I do have four things to say, but they're very short. So firstly, it looks like knowing your identity. Finding our identity in God. If we don't know who we are in God, we'll try to be a Christian with our focus on ourselves and our striving to be people with integrity, to be creative and to be different. But everything changes when we know we are in him. We are children of the supreme God, who is supreme of my workplace and your workplace and the places that you are. And he wants to work through us. Secondly, I think it looks like prayer. It looks like praying for our colleagues, our organisations to see God move. It might mean meeting with other Christians to pray together. We started doing this in my office a few years ago, and that now happens twice a month. I go in early on a Tuesday morning, once a month, and we pray for half an hour, just a small group of us in the bar area at the top of the building. And when we pray, it's not fancy, but I have a real sense of God's pleasure in us as we do that. And our prayers are like rain that just soak through all the different layers of the organisation. And thirdly, it looks like being bothered. Being bothered about those around us, about our work, about our organisations. I really care about the people I work with, and I want to notice if one of them's struggling. I want to give myself to my work and bring all of my thinking and myself into that. It means being honest as well, not just being nice. Saying the things that need to be said, and try to make a habit of pointing out elephants that are in the room and bringing stuff into the light. It means not getting disillusioned with change project after change project. Having a sense of humour, having a laugh, having lunch with colleagues, being present when I'm there, being bothered about the people I work with and our work, not just waiting for the clock to tick over to 5. And lastly, it looks like sleep. One of my new favourite phrases that I came across was sleep like a Christian. And that last point, being bothered, doesn't mean getting so caught up in work that it creates loads of stress and anxiety that we take it all home and go, I'm so bothered about my work. Because we can actually take risks and invest more because our security comes from God and we can sleep like a Christian. Because my security isn't dependent on whether I still have that same job tomorrow or whether I get that promotion. My security is me being a daughter of God. And that frees us up to be able to serve the wider interest and not just serve our own. We can sleep well, we can rest, we can recenter, fix our eyes on Jesus, remember who we are, let him carry the weight of our work, weight of our worries, weight of our colleagues in difficult situations, because he is God. We can walk freely through our day with a real lightness, even if the rest of the world is looking very grey. If you're anything like me, sometimes being a Christian feels like the most natural thing in the world. Those are really good days. And other days, I make it more about me and what I'm achieving for him. And other days, I become disillusioned altogether that it makes any difference at all. Ecclesiastes is my favourite book. And that's why nearly every message in church is practically the same at its core. We're no longer our own. We live utterly dependent on him. Every day we learn a little bit deeper what it is to put ourselves to one side, to die to putting us first, and to live for him, hosting his presence. And he is an awesome God, our perfect Father, who is active and living in us, gives us everything we need, because we're actually dead, so we don't bring anything to this party. And being a Christian at work isn't any different. It's being Anna. It's being me where I am, because I'm full of the Holy Spirit. It's still being dependent on him. It's not about what we can do, but hosting Jesus. And it does really look like something, because it's not passive. But it's more than just being that better extreme of the world. It's more than just having more integrity or being more brilliant. It's flipped because it isn't about us. And I'm so excited to see what God is going to do over the next weeks, months, years, decades in our workplaces, in our towns, cities, nation. And I believe we'll really see him move. But it won't be because we learn how to be a model Christian. It will be because we played our part being full of the Holy Spirit, taking more of him into every situation we go into, being present in the places that we work and spend our time, learning to host him. He will flow through us, and it will be him that's the transformation in the places that we are. So I'm ending now, and my challenge to us is to be present at our work. What does it mean to be at work? It means to be at work because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I wonder, I was going to hand over to Sam now to think about response, but I wonder if we could all just pray together. And maybe if we could all stand. And I just want to pray over us that we would both grow in knowing our identity as a son and a daughter of God, and have that growing ability to be present where we are. Whether we're not present because we don't actually want to be there anyway and we find our job incredibly frustrating, or whether it's because we lack a confidence, or there just needs to be something to click. I just would like to close by just praying over us. So, Father God, I thank you that you are the most awesome God. You are the only God. You are high above the heavens. You put everything in motion, and you are supreme over every situation that is coming in our heads now, every place that each foot in this building touches. You are Lord. And God, I pray that each heart would know what you have made, that you have made us a daughter and a son, that we are found in you because we're no longer our own, but we are yours. Lord, for every heart, God, would you set that deeper and deeper in our guts, that we would know because we know that we are yours. And I pray for those that don't want to be in their workplaces. God, would you give them a grace to be where they are? God, I pray for your Spirit to transform situations that feel like they're going nowhere and feel like they're sapping the very lifeblood out of people here. And God, would you fill them now? That you would give them everything they need. Would you whisper in their hearts that they know they're not going to be shrunk or crushed by situations, because greater are you who is in them than he who is in the world. And I pray for others of us, if we need more confidence, to remember that you are Lord of those places that we are. And remember that we are sons and daughters. God, I pray that you'd set that confidence in our hearts. Set it deep within us, that we'd have that strong spine that is your Holy Spirit in us. To be the people you've made us to be. To not put on a front, to not try and be something else, to not try and be better than we think we are. But to be us, with all our foibles, with all our strengths, and with your Holy Spirit in us, God. I thank you, God, that we are going to see greater things than we have seen so far. And open our eyes, Lord, to see what you're already doing. Encourage us to see what is it that you are doing in the places we spend our time. What is it you are already doing in that place we're going to be tomorrow morning? God, would you drop in those dreams and those visions through this afternoon and through in our sleeping? God, will we be a people on fire? Fire for you and present where we are, Lord God. Amen.